Hi, and welcome to the Easton Bible Church podcast. We're so excited you've joined us today. Our hope is that God uses this message to help you experience a deeper, life-changing relationship with Jesus, because Jesus changes everything. Enjoy today's message.
Colin Baker, did I say that? I'm one of the pastors here? I did? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm a little hazy from the medication, whatever I'm taking. So I've been coming to this church for over 30 years. This church has changed my life. It's incredible to be up here speaking before you. A changed man, a new life in Christ. God has just done an incredible work in me. And I love the Bible and how it transforms lives and how it transformed my life. Joshua, the book of Joshua, kind of a weird maybe passage to be in for the new year. But it's an incredible passage. It was actually a passage for me that really spoke to me in the many battles that I went through as a young man. So battle after battle after battle Joshua faces, and that's kind of where I was, battle after battle after battle. So who remembers their first fist fight by chance? Anybody remember their first fist fight? Can we talk about fighting in here? I mean, talk about Joshua, he did a lot of fighting. So my first fist fight was in the third grade. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I was like a chubby, kind of not really, you know, fierce-looking guy, if you will. My best buddy was about a head shorter than me. And this one gentleman, he wasn't very gentleman, he had this gun. I don't know if you guys remember him, probably not younger kids, but he had a gun. You push it in the ground, it would fill up with dirt, and then you would shoot it. It's like, who would get that for their son? I mean, what do you think the kid with a gun who puts dirt in it is going to do with it, right? He's going to shoot people with it. And he was threatening one day to shoot my friend over and over. And he had, you know, he had kind of messed around with that in times past. And he's like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? It's funny because I think of my last message with my father. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Right? So he shot the gun at my buddy. And now here I am. What am I going to do? So this guy was a troublemaker. I'm looking at him. I'm like, feel my hand go up. And I sock him in the nose. Immediately, blood pours out, he retreats to his house, and it was like, wow, that was pretty awesome, that was cool. I mean, why didn't I do that sooner? So in the house he went, and like it was like I took control of this situation with my hands. And, you know, it was kind of funny because, you know, an hour later, we're up at my friend's house, and we hear this knock on the door. Don't you know who it is? It's this gentleman saying, I want a rematch. And we're like, there's no rematch. You know, he still had the blood trickling in his nose there a little bit. No rematch. So yeah, fighting in our control, what we can do with our hands, leads me to something we maybe can't control with our hands. On December 29th, actually New Year's Day, New Year's Eve, just like today, in 2003, my wife and I found us in a different battle, if you will. We had gone to her normal 4-month ultrasound, and I was accustomed to doing that, did with my younger daughter, Lydia. I remember waiting in the waiting room a longer time than what I remember with my first daughter, and waiting and waiting, kind of like, you know, what's going on here? You know, so I get up, I go into the back, you know, can I go back and see my wife? And they're like, sure, of course you can. So I go back there, and you know, the monitor is typically on when you go back to see your baby, and the monitor was off. My wife's sitting up, and the radiologist comes walking in, and, you know, he says, well, we saw some abnormalities. I'm like, okay, abnormalities. Don't really know what that is, but he said, I made a point with your OBGYN, and you're going to go over and see him today, leaving here. So that's what my wife and I did. We drove off, and the first thing I thought to do was what? Call on God. Right? I sent out a prayer mail as soon as we got home. I have a bunch of the prayer mails here. I actually kept record of them all. So we were in this different situation. They were able to squeeze my wife in on New Year's Eve, and the abnormalities were fluid. They were telling us it was either going to be Down syndrome, spina bifida, or Turner syndrome, which we had never heard of. So New Year's Eve, they got us an appointment to our Cooper Hospital 20 years ago, 2003, getting an amnio, trying to determine what's wrong with our baby. Baby's diagnosed with Turner syndrome, when in utero, 99.9% of the time, don't make it. We found that out real quick. And so here we are, faced with this terrible, terrible news. Wanting to go see our baby, not getting to see our baby, and now we find out that there's complications. I have no idea what's going on. So 2023 was a little difficult year for my wife and I. We both lost our parents in 2022, mine last December. So, you know, we're kind of recovering that at the beginning of 2023. I know it was a difficult year for some of you, too. I know some of you are still in some really serious battles physically. I know some of you are taking care of elderly parents. My wife and I both went through that. I don't envy you at all. It's difficult to care for your parents as they get older and physically get weaker and weaker and sicker and sicker. So it seems like these battles come at us one after another after another. I don't know about you. Do you guys feel like that? Just feel like it's like one thing after another? One thing after another? So what do we do when we receive that kind of news? Heart-stopping news. Ground-shaking. Terrifying in some cases. It's out of our hands, right? Can't do anything with our hands about it. Not like those fights. This is in God's hands. See, in 2003, when Faith and I received that news, it was a couple years after I had been taking a class here called Design for Discipleship. It's an in-depth Bible study where Bible memorization is part of the class. And my life verse came out of that class. It's Joshua 1:8, which is why I would like to share that with you today. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Isn't that a beautiful verse? So turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to read that. It'll be up behind me as well. I need some water. It's so dry. Oh. Joshua 1. Verse 1, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go.'" Here's my verse. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So as you look into this passage, as you look into these verses, there's two things about what we're reading here. The age we're studying and the events that happened right before. First, we're in the late Bronze Age between 1350 BC and 1200 BC. This is a very, very primitive society. They don't have much, and they must trust God to survive, and as they enter a region inhabited by other peoples, they must be willing to fight to take the promised land. It was a case of destroy or be destroyed. We in the West take peace for granted, don't we? No fighting here. In the Bronze Age, if you weren't willing to fight, then your family probably wouldn't survive, especially if you're an immigrant or a newcomer in the land. Second, we need to understand their immediate history. It's been 40 years since Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt, no longer than any of them had ever imagined it would be. Parents who had left Egypt all died now except Joshua and Caleb. Only their children were the ones who remained. So who is Joshua? He's the only person besides Adam and Eve to have no earthly parents. Why Joshua, of course. He's constantly referred to as Joshua, son of Nun. You guys have probably all heard that one, right? My head. So Joshua, he's a member of one of the largest tribes of Israel, the tribe of Ephraim. And quickly, Joshua rises to an outstanding position. His name originally is Hoshea. Is that right, Jeff? Yes. Salvation, it means. But Moses renames him Joshua, which means Yahweh saves. Joshua is Moses' aide or servant. And in the book of Exodus 24, Joshua accompanies Moses up the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments with him. When Moses talks to God in the tent of meeting, Joshua is there too. After many accounts of Joshua's zeal, it comes time for Moses to choose a successor. And in the book of Numbers, chapter 27, says, "So the Lord said to Moses, 'Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Have him stand before Eleazar the priest and the entire assembly, and commission him in their presence. Give him some of your authority, so the whole Israelite community will obey him.' Moses did as the Lord commanded. He took Joshua and had him stand before Eleazar, the priest, and the whole assembly, and then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord instructed through Moses." Verse 3, it says, excuse me. I've always been fascinated by this verse. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. I mean, can you imagine that when God tells him that? I will give you every place where you set your foot upon. So God's recalling to Joshua the general promise that Moses had announced to the whole people. In Deuteronomy, it says, "Every place where you set your foot will be yours. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the Euphrates River to the Western Sea." So what's this mean? It means that where Joshua and the people actually physically go, God will give it to them. We see the promise fulfilled in Joshua where the people win battle after battle in campaigns in both the south and the north of Canaan. This principle kind of applies in other realms of our lives, right? We want everything brought to us on a silver platter, don't we? Spiritually, as Christians, we want to grow. So how do we do that? Does it just happen? Passively? No, we grow by believing the promises of God in his word, by having faith and seeing his promises fulfilled in our lives. He'll give it to us, but when we need to dig deep and find a way to trust him and follow him there, and the writer of Hebrews exhorts us, says, "We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised to them." So you might be wondering, I guess, why we're looking at the Bronze Age. I mean, 1200 BC. We're in the modern age period. How is this relative to me today? Well, it's very relative to us today. Joshua fought battle after battle after battle, like we fight battle after battle after battle. So Joshua demonstrated tremendous strength, faith, courage, and perseverance through all the battles. And what an example to us to demonstrate the same faith by trusting God and knowing he is with us. So I remember the night. It all hit me with my daughter. being diagnosed with Turner syndrome. I don't recall how long after it was. I was in the shower, and it just kind of came over me. I was sobbing in the shower, of course, where no one could hear me. And then I thought about that verse, about being prosperous and having success, and it kind of got me excited again. It lifted me up. I remembered about my daughter, my 2-year-old daughter, an example I need to be to her. I remember my wife and how strong she was through just the very beginning stages of this. I wanted to be a demonstration of the faith that I wanted to live by, and I wanted my daughter to see that in me. I wanted my wife to see me as being the spiritual leader of the home, being strong through this time. And that verse, Joshua 1:8, was there. Then you will have good success, and then you will prosper. So meditating on God's word, then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. That's what God's word tells us. See, with God, nothing is impossible. We hear that all the time, right? But it's real. It's for real. God expects his followers to live strong and courageous lives. In 2 Timothy, we find the Apostle Paul telling Timothy, the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. And two of my memory verses for his strength, Isaiah 41:10. All the time, I'm going over this. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Verse 5, of all the promises in the Bible, this is one of the most precious. It says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's also found in other places, in Deuteronomy and Hebrews and, of course, in the Great Commission in Matthew 28. None of us deserves God's presence. In Romans 3:23, we all know that verse, maybe not. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But see, God took all of our sins, past, present, and future, and put them all in Jesus. He nailed them all to the cross, wiped them all away. We sin, but God doesn't leave us. He disciplines us, but doesn't leave us. I praise his name every day for what he's done in my life, thanking him for saving me and making me a new life in Christ. I hope you'll think about that and consider that yourself. So this promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you, is a promise about God's help to us. Here God meant it to Joshua to encourage him on the day that his leadership began. And for us, it's a reminder that God is with us too. So in verse 6, immediately following this promise, God gives him a command. He says, be strong and of good courage, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. And can you imagine the faith involved? You know, in the earlier verses, you know, he's looking out and God's telling him, this will all be yours. The trust he had to have in God. Do you think Joshua had his moments? Well, he was human, like me. I'm sure he did. But God expects his followers to live strong and courageous lives. In the New Testament, we find the Apostle Paul telling Timothy, the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. And in Acts 1:8, Jesus told his followers, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all Judea, and to the end of the earth. So what is faith? It's believing that God will do what he says he's going to do. And faith is the key principle in Joshua, underlies the whole book. And the Christian life wouldn't make sense without it. Another memory verse, Romans 4, he said he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced of what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Faith. Faith is believing the promise enough that when something happens, unexpected news, we're strong and courageous. We trust God. We don't waver in our faith. We demonstrate strength and courage and remember that promise. I am with you. God is with us. Use these opportunities as a way to bring glory to his name. Right? Be strong. I remember when Faith and I went to our first doctor appointment to see the specialist after the amnio. They wait like 4 weeks because typically in that time is when the baby dies, to be honest. So we go in with the specialist. Actually, we started this wonderful practice. We prayed before every time. I'd send out multiple prayers, mails already to the church. We're excited. You know, this is God's baby. The doctor brought us into his office before we went in to see the ultrasound. And we're like sitting there. We're like, oh, you know, we can't wait to see our baby. And he's like looking at us like, do you guys remember what they told you? The possibilities, what's going to happen? And we're like, oh, yeah, well, you know, we've been praying. Want to see our baby. And in we go. And to the doctor's amazement, our Sabrina had a heartbeat. No emotion. She was alive. I mean, 99.9% of the time, 99.95, something like that. I mean, these babies are gone. So here we are, people of faith, showing our faith, demonstrating our faith, trusting God. And here this doctor has never seen this before. He's like, oh my gosh, she's got a heartbeat. And looking at us, like, and we're like, yeah, we're a baby. You know, we're like, this is great. We were Jesus freaks, right? That's what we were, my wife and I. We were Jesus freaks. Found out that the one woman who was kind of doing that little thingy on my wife's stomach went to another church, and she was prayerful and was praying through us through the whole thing. I mean, it was incredible. A difficult, difficult time, but God just used it, you know, to glorify his name and to use us through that time, and it was incredible. We knew that it wasn't our baby. It was God's creation, and we would pray every time in the car before we went in. Not thy will, but your will be done. Verse 7 and 8. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the laws. Here it is again. Be strong and very courageous. According to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. Here's my verse. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Thankfully, God doesn't leave us to fend for ourselves as we try to take courage. He helps us. This is what will strengthen our faith and our courage. Attention to his word. The psalmist writes, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. You see, we learn wisdom from God as we meditate on his word. So what's meditating on God's word? Is that kind of like, amen? You know, is that meditating? When I was memorizing my Bible verses, and I still keep them at my desk. Here they are. There's 60 of them. I brought them with me everywhere. In my car, I would turn off the radio on walks. You know, when I had lunch break, sitting with God and just going over and over in my head, just spending time with him, meditating on it, scribing it into my brain. I can call on these verses all the time. It's such a help. I've recently started doing them twice a day. In the morning I do them, and at night I do them as well. Why not? I usually hang upside down doing them, actually, on my inversion table. So I know if my family ever finds me and I'm gone, I think that sometimes, like, oh, maybe this might be it. I'm going over, you know, maybe here they come. Ah, he was memorizing Bible verses, you know, while he's upside down on his head. That's me. Crazy cow. When we read the Bible and meditate on it, we're doing just that, etching in our minds what God is thinking. The more we meditate on God's word, the more we begin to understand and the way he thinks. We allow God's word to transform our mind. Another memory verse, Romans 12:2, and do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transform by the renewing of your mind. In verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I got the stories today. I remember the first time I broke my hand, and it wasn't in a fist fight, believe it or not. All on my own. See, I had this battle going on inside of me. Bitterness, anger, questioning God, pride. And I was an angry guy. I was chaos, with a capital C-H-A-O-S. That was me. Just like stirring around. I would hurt myself, and no one had to do it for me. I mean, they would just kind of like get out of my way and like let me just kind of do my thing and take it out on trees and signs. This night, I, for some reason, I hit a sign. My friend kind of went up and like did this little da-da-da-da-da-da, and I just went up, and I'm like the finisher. And I mean, instantly, not knowing how to punch, I mean, my hand like blew up like a balloon, and the pain was so severe. I mean, I broke my hand, and it was shattered, and it was horrible. I remember going back to the house where we started and just, like, crying because it hurt so bad. And I'm just like, what am I doing? Big, tough, tough guy, right? Broken, literally. But not just physically broken. I was spiritually broken. So I'm going through regeneration. A little plug for that. I don't know if any of you have heard about Regen. It's a 12-step Christ-centered recovery. There's a group of 10 of us. Recovery, right? What am I doing going through recovery? Well, right now, we're doing an inventory on ourselves. For the past 2 weeks, the first inventory we're doing on ourselves is resentments. You know, we're great as Christians to inventory other people, right? You know, oh, look at Johnny over there. He's, I know he shouldn't be wearing that, or, you know, the personality. We're always pointing at other people. Regen, we're looking at ourselves. We're looking deep within past scars, maybe past hurts, resentments. Well, like I said right now, and I'm uncovering some things, you know, that I've put to bed, put to rest, if I will, forgiven people for. You know, I'm listening to my mom and my dad over and over again for different resentments. Another one. And don't get me wrong, like I said, I've forgiven these things, but how are they popping up in different situations, how I'm interacting with people today? Some of these hurts, some of these scars. I'm a new creation in Christ, right? I'm recovering from bitterness, anger, questioning God, and pride. That's what I'm recovering from. So I encourage any of you who might consider it. Like I said, it's an incredible program. Self-examination, digging deep into and being allowing God to transform you into the man or woman that he wants you to be. Only because it's Christmas time, I have this funny story. I have some time. So I told you my mother-in-law and my mom both passed away in January or December 2022. So the night my mother-in-law passed, it was beautiful. This woman was such a woman of faith, instrumental in my life. You know, her patience, her prayerful life. And it was on Mother's Day, actually, which is kind of ironic. Whole family had been there all day, and she was, you know, slowly getting weaker and weaker and weaker, and most of the family had left except for me and my girls and my wife and her twin, and then next thing you know, my mother-in-law passed. And, you know, they were in there, obviously, crying and all that kind of stuff. So we had to call the hospice nurse to come and pronounce her. And we had to call the funeral directors who arrived actually really quickly. They were from St. Vincent. So, you know, you're kind of standing, my wife and her, you know, they're kind of good now, but they're still in the room with my mother-in-law, and we're kind of out there with the two guys, me and my brother-in-law. You know, after finishing up all the small talk, we're kind of like, you know, what else do I say now? I'm looking at the guy. He's got these little round glasses. He's got this white beard. And I'm like, I said to him, I said, you look like Santa Claus. He's like, I am Santa Claus. I was like, can you come with me into my mother? Can I come show you my family to you? And he's like, oh, sure. So he goes walking. We go walking into where my mother-in-law is lying on the bed with my wife and her. And I'm like, girls, look, Santa Claus. And they're like, you're terrible. What is wrong with you? But it's like, we can, I mean, it was a terrible time. My mother-in-law passed. It wasn't terrible. It was such a joyous time. Because we knew where my mother-in-law was going. It was beautiful. And even in those times, you know, we can be strong and courageous and have strength and be a demonstration of faith. And maybe not poking fun and making, you know, Santa Claus, but Scott Anderson, you were not the real Santa Claus. I met the real Santa Claus on Mother's Day when mother-in-law passed. But anyway, funny story, but it is beautiful when you know and have the hope that we have, the eternal life, spending eternity with God in heaven. I mean, I can't wait. I hope it excites you. Because it's incredible. It's an overwhelming sense of peace that you have when you know that. So what we saw in Joshua, verse 5, we have faith assurance, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Faith exhortation, be strong and very courageous. And faith food, right? Meditate on God's word day and night. I promise you, if you meditate on God's word, it will change your life like it changed mine. Like I said, to be standing up here with all the past history that I have, you know, bringing God's word to his people is kind of incredible, incredible story. God's not done with you. And I don't know what challenges you face in 2023 or what challenges you'll face in 2024. I assure you there will be some. But the worst news you're going to hear is that we can do nothing to remove our sin. In Ephesians, it tells us, for by grace we have been saved through faith, and not of ourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Nothing we can do can save us. The good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, at the cross, Jesus did it for us, what we couldn't do for ourselves. He shed his blood to pay the penalty for all of our sins. The Bible says in 1 John, the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. What's the best news? Through faith, we freely receive forgiveness and eternal life. And that's precious. In Romans, it says, for the wages of sin is death. That's eternal separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what now? Have you received the free gift of salvation? If you haven't, I'd love to talk with you, share more about my story and how God changed my life. It's a free gift. You can receive it at any time. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. Confess it and believe it. I think that's it. You're doing one more song, Steve-O? Can I pray for us again? Pray with me. Father, all I can think about is just your beauty. You amaze me in what you've done in my life and in so many others. God, your word is precious. Like it said, it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We just need to dig into it, Lord, to uncover those truths, those promises that you have in them, and allow it to change our lives. Allow it to give us strength and courage when we don't have any courage or strength on our own. God, help us to look into 2024, knowing you're with us, being strong and courageous for you. We want to be a people that are loving and courageous for you, because you are a loving and courageous God. Thank you for all that you give us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Easton Bible Church podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message and that God will use it to speak powerfully into your life. If you have questions about how you can have a relationship with Jesus or would like more information about our church, you can connect with us on Instagram and Facebook, or go to the Easton Bible Church website at ebc.org.